Ova Gyana Tivarandasya Gananjana Salakaya. Tatsura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Rovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Bhagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Tritamsha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabandho Vigasate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosite Kapta Kanchana Gaurangi Kade Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sudhidevi Pranamangiri Priye Vanchakalpa Dhruvyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyedita Padidana Pahanejo Vaishnavejo Mohamaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranidhananda Gervai Dhinadharhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Read from chapter 79. First, I'll just read the introduction to it, and then we can read the Sanskrit. Lord Balaram goes on pilgrimage. This chapter describes how Lord Baladev satisfied the Brahmins by killing Balavala, bathed in various holy pilgrimage sites, and attempted to dissuade Bhimasena and Duryodhana from fighting. At the sacrificial arena of the sages of Naimisharanya Forest, a harsh wind began to blow on the new moon day, spreading the obnoxious smell of pus and obscuring everything with dust. The demon Balavala then appeared there with a trident in his hand, his massive body pitch black, and his face very frightening. Lord Baladev caught the demon with his plow, then struck him with a ferocious blow on the head with his club, killing him. The sages chanted Lord Baladev's glories and presented him with lavish gifts. Lord Balaram then began his pilgrimage, during which he visited many holy tirthas. When he heard news of the battle between the Kurus and Pandavas, the Lord went to Kurukshetra to try to stop the duel between Bhima and Duryodhana, but he could not dissuade them from fighting, so deep was their enmity. Understanding the fight was the arrangement of fate, Lord Baladev left the battlefield and returned to Dwarka. Sometime later, Balaram again went to Naimisharanya Forest, where the sages performed a number of fire sacrifices on his behalf. Lord Baladev reciprocated by granting the sages transcendental knowledge and revealing to them his eternal identity. Text 1. Shri Shubhu Vacha Tata Parvani Pavrite Prachanda Pamshu Varshana Bhima Vayu Rajan, Puya, Ganda, Sarvishaha, Shri Shuku Vacha.
Shri Shuku Vacha.
Tathat Parvan Upavrite.
Tathat Parvan Upavrite.
Prachanda Pangshu Varshanaha. Bhimo Vayura Budrajan
Bhimo Vayura Budrajan
Pun Puya Gandhasa Sarvashaha
Puya Gandhasa Sarvashaha
Shishu Vacha
Shishu Vacha
Tathat Parvan Upavrite
Tathat Parvan Upavrite
Prachanda Pamsu Varshanaha
Prachanda Pamsu Varshanaha
Bhimo Vayur Abhudrajan
Bhimo Vayur Abhudrajan
Punipuya Gandhasu Sarvashaha
Punipuya Gandhasu Sarvashaha
Shri Shuku Vacha
Shri Shuku Vacha
Shukadeva Goswami
said Shukadeva Goswami said
Tata
Den
Parvani
Parvani
The new moon day. Upavrite.
Upavrite.
When it came.
Prachanda.
Fierce.
Pangshu.
Dust. Varshanaha.
Raining.
Bhima.
Brightening.
Vayu.
A wind.
Abhut.
Arose.
Rajan.
O King.
Parikshit.
Puya.
Apus. Ganda.
Smell.
Tu. And.
Sarvashaha.
All over. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, then, on the new moon day, O King, a fierce and frightening wind arose, scattering all dust all about and spreading the smell of pus everywhere. So what did I just read? It's on the board there, I guess, right? Oh, yeah. You know, try the next one. Text 2. Next, under the sacrificial arena came a downpour of abominable things sent by Balavala, after which the demon himself appeared, trident in hand. The immense demon resembled a mass of black carbon, his topknot and beard like molten copper, and his face had horrible fangs and furrowed eyebrows. Upon seeing him, Lord Balaram thought of his club, which tears to pieces his enemies, armies, and his plow weapon, which punishes the demons. Thus summoned, his two weapons appeared before him at once. The tip of his plow, Lord Balaram caught hold of the demon Balavala as he flew through the sky, and with his club, the Lord angrily struck the harasser Brahmanas on the head. Balavala cried in agony and fell to the ground, his forehead cracked open and gushing blood. He resembled a red mountain struck by a lightning bolt. Purport. According to the Acharyas, the demon appeared reddish with blood, like a mountain red with oxide. The exalted sages honored Lord Rama with sincere prayers and awarded him infallible blessings. Then they performed his ritual bath, just as the demigods had formerly bathed Indra when he killed Vritra. They gave Lord Balaram a Vaidyanathi garland of unfading lotuses, in which resided the goddess of fortune. They also gave him a set of divine garments and jewelry. Then, given leave by the sages, the Lord went with a contingent of Brahmanas to the Kaushiki River, where he bathed. From there he went to the lake from which flows the river Sarayu. The Lord followed the course of the Sarayu River until he came to Prayag, where he bathed and then performed rituals to propitiate the demigods and other living beings. Next, he went to the ashram of Pulaharishi. Purport, Pulahara Ashram is also known as Hari Kshetra. Lord Balaram bathed in the Gomati, Gandhati, and the Vipasha rivers, and also immersed himself in the Shona. He went to the Gaya, where he worshipped his forefathers, and to the mouth of the Ganges, where he performed purifying ablutions. At Mount Mahendra, he saw Lord Parashurama and offered him prayers, and then he bathed in seven branches of the Godavari River, and also in the rivers Vena, Pamba, and Bhimarati. Then Lord Balaram met Lord Skanda and visited Sri Shaila, the abode of Lord Varisha, and then the southern provinces known as Dravida Desha. The Supreme Lord saw the sacred Venkata Hill, as well as the cities of Kamalkoshni and Kanchi, the exalted Kaveri River, and the most holy Sri Ranga, where Lord Krishna had manifested himself. There he went to the Rishabha Mountain, where Lord Krishna also lives, and onto the southern Mathura. Then he came to Setubandha, where the most grievous sins are destroyed. Purport. Usually one goes to Gaya to worship deceased forefathers. But as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, although Lord Balaram's father and grandfather were still alive, it was on his father's order that he carefully worshipped the forefathers at Gaya. Drawing insight from the Vaishnava Toshini, the Acharya's book further explained that although Lord Balaram was in the immediate proximity of Jagannath Puri, he did not go there since he wanted to avoid the embarrassment of having to worship himself. Among the forms of Sri Krishna, Balabhadra, and Subhadra. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimati Bhakti Granta Swami Dharamane Namaste Sarasatunde Vang Gauravana Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskatyade Satarna. We'll probably read to the end of this chapter. That way, if we read a chapter a day, we'll shortly be finished with the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we read a chapter every day of the Bhagavatam, then by next year we should have the Bhagavatam finished. Twice. Every year we can read the Bhagavatam. But it just so happens there are hardly any purports for these verses. Lord Balaram is going to continue on with his pilgrimage around Bard Varsha. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one song, Shudabhakata Charanarenu Bhajana Anu Sukula Bhakata Seva Paramasiri, etc. So in that particular song, he sings, may always visit the holy places visited by Lord Gauranga, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are five different potent processes that can instill or induce bhava even in a neophyte if one practices that activity sincerely. One of them is chanting the holy name. The other is worshipping the deities, living in a holy place, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees. I think that's five. Srimad Bhagavatam, chant, kirtan, association with the devotees, living in a holy place, worshiping the deities. So that's five. So those are the five powerful processes that one can achieve bhava. So what is bhava? Bhava is when there is ecstasy, and that ecstasy has different types of bhavas, as you probably might know. Who knows the five different types of bhavas? Don't be shy. Who knows? There's vibhava, And Vibhava is divided into what? It has two divisions of Vibhava. We don't have too many scholars here, obviously. There's Vishaya and Ashraya, or there's what's called Alambana and Udipana. Alambana means that which is centered is Ashraya and Vishraya, the object of affection and the reservoir of affection. So sometimes Krishna is the cowherd boys, they're the Ashraya of Vicharasa. Yes, Sakya Rasa. And who's the Vishaya of Sakya Rasa? Take a guess. Yes. Follow him. Close. He's also Vishaya, but because Balaram, who is Balaram really? He's an expansion of who? Yes. Oh, good. Therefore Lord Balaram is also, he has his cowherd boyfriend, so he's also a Vishaya of Sakya Rasa. But generally we take Krishna because Balaram is also considered one of the Sakyas of Krishna. He's considered to be in the senior position. He's one of the he's in a position of Parama Sakya. That is, they have parental affection towards Krishna. They're considered to be superior. So Krishna, there is Vibhava, that which arises ecstasy, from which ecstasy arises, and has Alambana, has two divisions, namely the reservoirs of Sakya Rasa or Madhurya Rasa or Dasya Rasa or Vatsalya Rasa, and the object, which is generally Krishna or his expansions. And then there's Udipan, that which arises, that from which the reminds one of Krishna or his associates or his expansions. Krishna's flute, Krishna's, or here we could say also his plow or whatever else, his buffalo horn, these are called Udipan. And then we have Anubhava, that which follows Vibhava, the dance of one, for instance, one in Vatsalya Rasa sees little baby Krishna, and immediately there's Anubhava, that one will want to pick Krishna up and smell his head and caress Krishna. So this is called Anubhava, voluntary reactions which is stimulated by bhava or love. And then we have Sattvika Bhava, of which there are eight principal Sattvika Bhavas, namely shivering in the body and tears flowing from the eyes, loss of color in the body, etc. So these are called Sattvika Bhavas, and Sattvika Bhava is arising out of the mind's ecstasy. When the mind is in ecstasy, thinking about Krishna by association, just like one puts an iron into a fire, then the iron becomes hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it acts like fire. Although it looks like iron, it's actually acting like fire by association. Similarly, when Krishna is appearing within our mind, and his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his associates, their loving exchanges, when the ocean of transcendental experience is existing within our mind, then our mind becomes ecstatic by association. And due to the ecstasy of the mind, the life forces within our body, the elements, they become disturbed. They become agitated. So, if the air element becomes agitated, then there'll be trembling in the body. If the water element becomes agitated, then there'll be tears in the eyes. If the fire element becomes agitated, then there'll be perspiration. In this way, you have sattvika bhavas, which are based upon intense ecstasy arising from intense Krishna consciousness. They're simply symptoms of the intensity of one's awareness of and meditation in ecstasy upon Krishna. And then you have Vyabhichari Bhakti, which is the ecstasies which are seemingly negative, but actually ecstatic. Just like a mother in Vatsalya Rasa, she may see her child, Shnelate, caress the child, and then she may see later on the child crawling on the edge of the roof, ready to drop off. So the intense anxiety for the mother of the child to save her child, that's one of the Vyabhichari Bhaktis. That is her intense affection out of fear and anxiety, out of harm for her child. That's one of the ecstasies also. And then there is Sattvika Bhava, Stayi Bhava, from which all the other bhavas arise. Stayi Bhava is like the original rasa as compared to the ocean, from which all the different aspects of the ocean arise. Stayi Bhava is like the ocean, and Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyabhichara Bhava are like the waves on the ocean, or the wind on the ocean, the different varieties that make the ocean appear different, but it's all based upon the ocean. So our natural relation with Krishna is called Stayi Bhava, Sanchari Bhava, and from there the different varieties of bhavas arise. Therefore, when we talk about these bhava, can arise bhava even in a neophyte, it means that by associating with the holy name, and the holy name doesn't mean simply some letters of the alphabet, the holy name means Krishna's name. When we hear it properly, then we should spontaneously remember Krishna's form. Just like if we hear the name of any object in this world, that especially if we're attached to that object, then spontaneously we remember what the object looks like. For instance, I always use this analogy because it's more or less one of the samskaras of most people in their youth, and it's deeply within their consciousness. So we hear the name of Mickey Mouse. Then actually, what do we do? Without spontaneously, we at least will remember some big ears, black ears, big nose. It doesn't require a pure devotee of Mickey Mouse to spontaneously remember his form. And even without thinking about it very carefully, his consort, his divine energy, Minnie Mouse, will be remembered. As well as associates like Goofy or others. And in this way, one will become absorbed in the name, form, quality, and even activities of the divine couple. Divine for some people. So this is the same type of association we're supposed to have with the holy name. If we're fortunate enough in our childhood to hear about Krishna's pastimes, then it may come more easily or more spontaneously. Now it has to be done by some practice. Practice hearing and chanting the holy name in the proper mood so that we enter into the right atmosphere. Because Krishna's pastimes go on in the atmosphere of devotion, of love. And unless we're in that same atmosphere, then it's very difficult to factually, spontaneously remember Krishna's pastimes. There's no lamentation, Krishna's pastimes. There's no material hankering. And therefore, if our consciousness is covered by these hankering and lamentation, and especially if in the background of our consciousness we have the idea that either I'm going to gain something in the future or I'm going to lose something, as long as we identify ourselves as either proprietors of this world and losers of whatever we had, or possible gainers in the future, that as long as we're in that mentality, then it is very difficult to have the proper consciousness to enter into the divine atmosphere of the transcendental atmosphere, where there's no one thinks themselves to be proprietors. Only out of love to the residents Vrindavan think that Krishna belongs to them. And out of love, Krishna thinks that the residents of Vrindavan belong to him. That's the only thing that they actually think themselves proprietors of, out of affection. So, to take oneself to be the proprietor of Krishna out of love, that's very nice. But to think oneself the proprietor of anything else, that will put us into the material consciousness. If we're fasting in the spiritual consciousness when we chant Hare Krishna, then at once we remember Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, and we're able to feel the transcendental quality or the energy. And by feeling that transcendental energy, one will feel bhava or ecstasy, because everything that Krishna does and his associates do, they're all only on the basis of transcendental bhava or ecstasy. The spiritual world means simply the exchange of ecstasy between Krishna and his associates. Therefore, the holy name, or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, whether Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, it is simply an expansion of the holy name. If we want to find out what the holy name looks like, then we can read Srimad Bhagavatam to find out. That's what the Bhagavatam is. It's the description of the holy name. And the holy name has appeared in this age, in this world, as the deity. So the deity is an expansion, you could say, of the holy name. The deities. And the holy places are also expansions of Krishna's pastimes. Holy place means that it's connected with Krishna, and thereby, by such association, one can also spontaneously remember Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. His pastimes go on in some holy place, and wherever Krishna has his pastimes, those activities are eternal. Actually, everything is a pastime place of Krishna, because Krishna resides everywhere. But exactly what the pastime is may be different. When Śrīla Vyāsadeva, in his meditation upon Krishna, he saw the pastime of Krishna in this material world, and there it is said that Bhakti Yoga Manasi Samyat Pranihite Male Apaishat Purusham Purna Maya Chatad Apashaya. So Bhakti Yoga Bhakti Yogena Manasi, by linking himself, his consciousness in Bhakti, Samya Pranihite Male, without any material covering. Apaishat Purusham Purnam. Then he saw the Supreme Lord, the same original Supreme Lord, and Maya cha tad apashaya. And on his backside, taking shelter of Krishna, he saw Maya. When we actually see Krishna in this world, then we'll see Maya taking shelter of Krishna and not being predominant, but subordinate. Now we think that Maya is the predominant energy in this world, and we're more or less embarrassed by Maya, because we surrender to Maya, taking shelter of Maya. But Maya doesn't really want us to take shelter of her. As soon as we take shelter of Maya, she kicks us. Krishna Bahira Mukha Bhagahana Vanchitari Nikatasta Tara Japatiyadari. That as soon as one turns one's face away from Krishna, then Maya, who's standing right by us, she immediately slaps us down. She tells us, take shelter of me. Come and take shelter of me. Forget about that, Krishna. Krishna, one meaning of Krishna means the unknown, black and unknown. So don't take shelter of that unknown person. Take shelter of me. I'm right before you. I'll protect you. Sit down on my lap. I have this nice little knife. I'll just strike you with the knife on your throat. Don't worry about it. Somebody is always advertising, come and enjoy, come and enjoy, come and take shelter of me. As I mentioned before, that example, just like when you go fishing, you take the rod and the reel and the bait, and the tackle, and you throw the line into the water, and at the end of the line is a hook and sinker and some bait. And the fish, they fight each other to get the bait. One fish gets the bait, grabs the bait with his teeth or mouth, and enjoys. Now I'm enjoying, I got the bait. And the next moment, zip, he gets hooked, reeled up by the fisherman, taken in the loving hands of the fisherman, and cut open. His insides is thrown onto the floor, and he's thrown onto a frying pan and fried. So he's thinking, now I'm going to enjoy, now I'm going to enjoy, and ultimately he winds up fried. So material nature is saying, come and enjoy, come and enjoy, but ultimately the result is that everyone gets fried. But Maya actually is kicking us, trying to kick us towards Krishna, but we're not very intelligent because we don't hear from the right persons. But those who hear from the right persons and the right attitude can realize that the Maya is kicking us, trying to get rid of us, trying to bring us back to the spiritual world. So Maya is also, another name for Maya is mercy. Therefore, even the material world is the place of Krishna's pastimes. It's the pastime of the Maya kicking the souls, trying to get them out of Maya into the spiritual energy. Birth, death, old age, and disease. There, without them, there's no impetus to make advance in the spiritual life. That anyone who thinks that they're enjoying in this material world, they're fool number one. They have no intelligence. So anyone who's going around saying, you know, she'll be right, honey, they're wrong. No words. They're fool number one. You can take it immediately, they're fool number one. They don't realize what's going on. They don't know where they are. Only if they take shelter of Krishna can they say that with actual conviction. Therefore, this material world is also a place of activities, but it is not a very nice activity. Krishna calls it Udra Rupam. Arjuna asks Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Adhyakite tad Bhava Udra Rupam. Namostate Sarva Eva Sarva Anandavi Gyanaka Vikrama Swam Sarvam noti tatosi sarva. Akyati me ko bhavan ugrupa mosute sarva eva sarva. I want to know what is this horrible feature of yours. What's going on here? Akyati ke mo bhavan ugrupa mosute deva rapasida. He's offering him very humble respects, but asking, what's this horrible thing that's happening here? You look like a nice person when we were on the chariot together, but suddenly you've changed. It's like Putana. She looked very sweet, beautiful, and suddenly she turned into this horrible lady, 25 kilometers long. Her teeth were like clouds. So Arjuna asked Krishna, Agyati kemo bhavanugrupa namostate deva rapasida vigyatami chami vivantamadyam, that I want to know what you're doing here. What is your mission? So Krishna says, kalos mi lokashe kripravrido lokantamahartanihaprita Vipeti tvam nabhid vishanti sarve, yevasti ta prapniyuke triyoda. At time I am, I've come here to kill everyone. So this is the pastime. People are worrying about terrorists coming into the airport. They don't realize the number one terrorist is everywhere. Krishna, in his form of time, is killing everyone imperceptibly. Stealth terrorists. Imperceptibly, he's killing everyone, and he's so powerful in the form of time that not only people can't even find him, even if they knew where he was, they couldn't do anything about it. There's no weapon that's going to defeat time. Get out your sword and cut time to pieces. Good luck. We exploded an atomic bomb, 1,500 of them, to kill time. But somehow or another it survived. So time is going on, killing everything, changing everything, and yet time is unaffected. So that's the past in the material world. Time killing everything here. The little baby is born, everyone's very happy, but actually, simultaneously, people are putting flowers on that little baby's tomb somewhere. It's past birth, it died, people are lamenting. That soul was in another body previously, and people are crying on the tomb while at the same time it's taking birth, the people are very happy, and they don't realize that surely they're going to have to put flowers on its tomb too. So only out of illusion we think, look at this little baby. It's so nice, it's so fresh and new, so innocent. Who knows? It could have been Al Capone in his lifetime. And who knows what it's going to be in this lifetime. So out of illusion we create a whole understanding of this world as so great opportunity for enjoyment. And part, we can have so many loving exchanges here in the material energy, and things are progressing, and so many things are being invented, a bright future, etc. But it's all part of the illusory energy, and one should see it in relation to Krishna, and then engage our activities in Krishna's service, and then wherever we are becomes one of Krishna's pastimes. Because Krishna is there, if I engage in Krishna's service, according to the authorized representatives of Krishna, we actually become Krishna conscious. That means that Krishna is in that place, and that place becomes a part of Krishna's pastimes. It becomes spiritualized. The same way that putting an iron through the fire gets hotter and hotter, and suddenly gravity takes on the same quality as the fire does. That's why if someone comes into this building, then they'll feel some different type of atmosphere. Why? Because Krishna's activities are going on here. Otherwise, why do we don't go to our parents' house usually and then offer our obeisances unless our parents are devotees and they have deities there? So because Krishna's pastimes are going on here, therefore the atmosphere becomes spiritualized. Similarly, Lord Balaram is going to these places of pastimes, but of course his going there further makes it into a place of pastime, because Lord Balaram himself is what makes the place a pastime place. But when he goes there personally, then it becomes more glorified, even more spiritually potent. Therefore, when the Ganges was asked to come down to the earth, she refused because she was afraid that all these materialistic people, they're going to bathe in my waters and I'm going to become, polluted by their association, because everyone's carrying a certain vibration according to what they're thinking about. But she was assured that great saintly persons will also bathe in your water, and by such saintly association, all the previous negative vibrations of materialistic consciousness will be purified by the association of great personalities. And then she agreed to come. So similarly, by the Sankirtan movement, by spreading Krishna consciousness, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates will actually appear in these different places and spiritualize the atmosphere by Sankirtan, by book distribution, by prasadam distribution, by somehow or another engaging people in these powerful processes that even the most degraded places can be made into places of pilgrimage. And here we find that if we go to these holy places as outlined here, then these are also opportunities to remember how Lord Baladev had also visited these places, and therefore remember Lord Balaram. And if we remember Lord Balaram, then that itself is sufficient to purify ourselves and further purify the atmosphere. We'll stop here for today. Any questions? Comments? Today's Sunday, so we can have a minute of silence.
Yeah. What did you also find just about the thing about the Maya, you know, overcome somebody there? I know a devotee that was here and then she left.
Maya overcoming someone.
Yeah.
Someone was here and they left. So a lot of people are here and they'll leave.
So what can be like
Maya? Maya is quite tricky. We were all in the spiritual world at one time and we all left. So it's not that one person leaves. This whole universe, plus all the universes, all the living entities have left the spiritual world. Although probably no one's missing us, because even the spiritual world is much bigger than that. It's like if you're in China and you leave China, no one's going to miss you. There's plenty of people in China. So it's not we all left and the spiritual world is like, no, where is everyone? Where do they all go? So that's Maya. Her business is, don't worry about it, saying Krishna's going to be right there. Just, you know, try out this for a little while. See what it's like. We'll bring you right back to Krishna consciousness. Don't worry about a thing. Everything's all right. Just try it one more time. Give it the old college try one more time. So that's what Maya said. You've become so advanced, you deserve a break. Take a vacation and enjoy a little bit. And then you can come back to Krishna consciousness again. You can become a servant again. But in the meantime, try out being a master. I think you'll do better this time. You've learned so much. You're so advanced. You already know about Krishna. Now find out about Maya. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.
Yeah.